You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. So we're back for another episode of Habs Nightly. The killer offseason of the Canadiens continues. Not much is going on. Habs fans are currently posted up, staying low, just waiting for Shane Wright, hopping on the bandwagons of our new second round teams as we await the draft in July. But Corey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. And I want to shout out all of our fans. Thank y'all so much. I'm editing the episode yesterday or the day before, whenever we did Sunday. I mean, what was yesterday? Whenever we did the Wednesday episode or Thursday, whatever the fuck it is. We are back to getting about the same amount of listens and downloads as we did last season before we had our hiatus due to long fucking playoffs, and then basically immediately back into the next season along with Mason starting school and me getting back to work from rehab. I just want to thank y'all so much. If you're a new listener, how are y'all? I'm sure next season or mid off season we'll do another kind of break the ice, getting to know everybody episode again. But I just want to say thank y'all so much for listening and sticking around, or if you're new, giving us a shot, because the numbers are back. Habs Nightly is back as one of the top contributors to the Hockey Podcast Network, and we're back where we're supposed to be, and it's all thanks to y'all.
Yes, thank you guys so much. As Corey said, we took a little bit of a dip, a little bit of a hit in our hiatus there, you know, understandably so, but both of us kind of needed the break. I can't believe it's been almost a year now since we've done that, though. We're finally back, and which is crazy considering it is the off season. So we really appreciate your guys' support. With that being said, that out of the way, we are recording this Thursday night. This will be airing on Monday. That's because Corey has a trip planned, and you know what? The guy needs it. He works hard, not only for his job, but on this podcast. All of the work, all the uploading, all the editing, that is done by Corey. So if you guys didn't know that, you know, all the
Let's
love.
Go.
Yeah, you put in all the work, man. I just show up every Sunday and Wednesday. Yeah,
we got to get Mason through college. So that's a big thing. Somebody on this podcast needs to not just get a random diploma sent to the house 2 years after not being able to go back to school for an over abundance of lackluster credits.
But anyway, yeah, so due to that, we are recording this Thursday night. However, you know,
I gotta go fishing.
Man's gotta go fishing, get some stories for us so we can share it. He can share it all with you. So what do you want to talk about tonight then? That being said, we're not going to be too up to date with the playoffs, but
this can be a fucking roller coaster of an episode. It can go anywhere. It honestly could.
Well, I think I'd like to start with some draft talk. World championships going on, some young, exciting players playing. And a contentious figure among Habs fans has been making some buzz, positive and negative, at the World Championships. Jura Slafkovský, we've spoken about the monster. The 17-year-old monster, 6'3", 6'4", projected to go anywhere from first from some outliers. Grant McKeag, we're looking at you. I think we'll discuss Grant later on. But a lot in the top three and, you know, as far down as I've seen him go 10th in some mock drafts. Most have him in the top three, top five. A very polarizing figure, a personal favorite of Corey's, however, and Stefkovski.
He's my favorite guy in the expected to go in the first round. He's my favorite guy. There's no doubt about it. This kid's a fucking freak. He's 18 years old. He's 6'4", fucking 218. That's a big boy. That's a fucking huge ass kid.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, I like him too. I think he's going to be great. He made some, wow, what a fucking voice crack. Great. Sounding like a I'm like fat bastard.
Wow, grip.
Great. No, Sefkovsky made some big noise at the Olympics, getting Slovakia, one of their, I think their first Olympic medal in hockey, in ice hockey at least. And he's back for the men's national team. Had some great games, but Glare gave up a brutal turnover the other night straight to Timo Meier right out of the box. It was absolutely awful. Wrong guy to give it up to. Of course, Meier absolutely buried it, burned the Slovaks there. But I just want to get your opinion, Corey. I know you're not the biggest prospect guy, but this is someone you've probably watched more than any. I think, is it fair to say you've probably watched more tape on this guy than you have Shane Wright?
Yeah. You can fucking throw egg on my face, whatever. But no, I absolutely did because like I said, you know, a couple of episodes ago and on the live stream, I did not think Montreal was going to get the first overall. So there was no point in me caring about Shane Wright. I knew what it was. It's a name. You understand he's going to be most likely the best option out there. So I was looking at the next best thing, you know, and Mason showed me this kid and I fucking fell in love with him. And I was like, this is the kid I'm going to fucking follow. Honestly, dude, you know, like you said, I'm not the biggest on the draft, you know, prospects watching shit like that. And it's honestly because I'm still green to figuring out sites for it and where I can really find this shit. It's really tough to do it in Southern Louisiana. It's just something that wasn't just, it's not a big crowd down here, you know? So it's like, until I started working with Mason and the other guys at THPN, there was so much that I was missing out of my hockey experience, especially with podcasting. You know, we all went from like a really green, not knowing shit to, you know, being a little bit more, I wouldn't say veteran, but, you know, at least a bit of an understanding of it. But I'm so far, how the fuck do I say it? I'm just not equipped enough like some of these guys from Canada and the northern states and shit, just because it's something that's, you know, highly talked about and shit. You know, it's something that people are interested in down here. For me, I fucking, what do I do? Like Google search it. Like I just wouldn't know where the fuck to look. So I got a lot of guys that had helped me. And there's still a lot of things that I need to understand. And the newest one is really just following the prospects and their journeys and shit like that. You know, one of the best things I was gifted was Elite Prospects, but, yeah, like you saying though, had some good moments in Worlds. I had a couple of sloppy ones, but I'm gonna take it as a grain of salt. 18 years old, plays overseas. I feel personally that, you know, the game's a little bit tougher over here. A little bit. There's some things that isn't probably played in their style, and an easy turnover. That's a bad one. That's a fucking bad one. But nonetheless, he's still my favorite guy coming out of this draft. And I'd like to see him go early. But if he falls, and I think we got the 13th overall pick too, if I'm not mistaken, shit, be cool to see us move up and grab him. But I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't see this dude dropping below five. I'd be really surprised. And if he does, then my heart's pumping to fucking move up to get him.
Well, I think it's probably highly likely, based on the draft lottery. Okay, I think personally, I'm a big Slafkovský guy, but it's kind of unanimously been said that Logan Cooley may be the better player.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are more high on him. And it's interesting the way the lottery fell. New Jersey, the Devils got the second overall pick, and the Devils are kind of I think it's pretty rare to have a team draft this high and have absolutely no use for a top two centerman. However, they don't, like, I know you draft best player available. They don't really need a center. And if you're splitting hairs the way you are with Slafkovský and Cooley, because some even have Slafkovský at number one, I think I'd be willing to bet he goes to New Jersey. And see, like, that just screams dangerous combo with him and Jack Hughes on that top line. Even if you played with Nico Hischier, they could be a big bruising line on the second line together. I think Slafkovský is going to be dropped right into a really good situation if he does end up going to New Jersey. That's a team that's going to be in the playoffs next year. Let's be honest. Jack Hughes is not letting
that.
I think it's an easy show. Devils in the playoffs. They've got a great young goalie who had a bad year. I think he'll bounce back. They've got a great young defense. They have Dougie Hamilton back there as their number one. Their young guys are going to get better. Jack Hughes is going to become a superstar next season. That is my prediction.
No, I love that. I like that. One thing I really did like about Slafkovský is that he's very versatile now. They threw him in as a center, and he kind of glued with it just as well as he did as a winger.
Let's be clear, he is not a center.
Yeah, no, but his
– Yeah, absolutely not, yeah.
Yeah. But I like that he was given the opportunity to fucking do it. I didn't think he was the fucking worst at it. But I'd like to actually see him, if he does go to New Jersey, which shout out to fucking Neil, because when we did the live stream, when he popped on before to do his preview for the THPN, whatever game he was covering that night, he was like, who wants to trade for this pick? I don't need it. I don't think the team needs it. And it just kind of piggybacks on what you were saying. They're not in the hunt for, like, you know, the top couple of guys are not anything that they really need. But let's say they go Slafkovský. Dude, I'd love to see him on the same line as Jesper Bratt. I bet his numbers would fucking go up. After a lightning season Jesper Bratt had this year, imagine someone that big being able to force his way into the crease, into, you know, just into like a creating plays just out of sheer strength, and then Jesper Bratt coming in to clean it up, or just a solid dish back to him. Like, it just sounds like a fucking powerhouse waiting to happen.
Well, and why I think he'd be great with a guy like Hughes is because I see Slafkovský as a trigger man. Mm-hmm. And I say that because he's very versatile. He has great skill, but I don't think his hockey IQ is the greatest. No, and
I'm thinking like,
a guy like Jack Hughes, who is so cerebral and already one of the smartest players in the National Hockey League, he'll figure it out. You know what I mean? He'll find a way to play with Slafkovský. Slafkovský can play a simpler game. Listen, just skate, move, get open. Hughes will find you.
Yeah.
And I think it could be a great situation there. But the reason we bring up Slafkovský is because there's 2 months of hockey left. And Kent Hughes has been at Slafkovský's games. The Habs are doing their due diligence. We've said previously, a couple episodes ago, Shane Wright will go number one overall. I still stand by that. But as you said, it's rare. It's probably not going to happen. Habs got some big contracts to move. There could be some movement in the draft picks. And Habs could trade up. You know, I don't think they'd trade down, to be honest. I don't get that vibe from Gorton and Hughes. I don't think they like that philosophy.
Yeah.
But I could see the Habs moving up a couple picks into the top, back up into the top 10. If they think they can jumpstart their rebuild because someone's falling, you know, I think this is an organization now with
Cole Caulfield fell. I mean, not the same, you know, head office people, but he fell and fuck, he might be one of our best draft picks in a fucking well over a decade.
I think the last decade he's absolutely, I think he's already the best drafted player, that which is, you know, says a lot about him and I think also about the organization. But yeah, I think Slafkovský is a guy Habs fans should keep their eye on, as well as Logan Cooley. Simply because, yeah, I think the Habs could be up to something here. And I understand teams do their due diligence, but from everything I've heard, you know, it's not like Kent Hughes and Gordon personally have traveled to Europe. They're watching this tournament. They're scouting guys. They're going to take every opportunity to get the last bit of scouting. And in that, while we're talking about that, unfortunately, Shane Wright and the Kingston Frontenacs were eliminated finally in the OHL playoffs. Unfortunately, they just couldn't, you know, they almost rallied back from being down 5-0.
Jesus.
They lost 6-5.
Oh.
Shane Wright was absolutely instrumental. And I think it's important to note because there has been a bit of a fucking smear campaign run by a former washed-up NHL scout, a part-time NHL scout by the name of Grant McKeag, who runs Recruits Scouting. It's a website. Mm-hmm. For those of you on Habs Twitter, you've almost certainly heard of Grant. Look, for an audience that isn't Twitter-based, I try not to bring up Twitter-type beefs or whatever stuff going on because
– beef.
You know, it's not relevant. But in this case, I think it's important because I think Grant represents not – his opinions don't only represent himself, but the opinions of some media outlets. Maybe not even that. Let's say his actions. Because it's not isolated. Basically, for those of you who aren't aware, Grant McKeag has been ripping Shane Wright to pieces, everything he's done. Every little mistake he's made, he's analyzed it over and over again, said, Shane Wright could fall to third and stuff like that. All the while he's propping up Slafkovský, who many Habs fans hate now, and kind of putting him on a pedestal. Now, This is strategic, in my opinion, Corey, because I don't think Grant thinks Shane Wright isn't going first overall. I think this guy's fishing for clicks. And what I expect to happen is a lot more of this in the weeks and months leading to the draft. I think you're going to see a lot of French media talking about stuff like this and, you know, maybe even English Habs media trying to downplay, as we've seen in previous drafts, there's always this talk of right near the draft, he might not go first overall. We've seen it many times. And honestly, the only time it's really the first overall selections really changed in my memory, Corey, you may be able to correct me, was when Nico Hischier went instead of Nolan Patrick in 2017. Otherwise, we have known who was going first overall every year for, I don't know, the last decade or so, would you say?
No, I think that's fair.
And if you look back at those picks, and to lead to my point, 2012, Yakupov was a total utter fail. But from what I've heard, that's the other draft. Sorry. 2012, there wasn't really a consensus either. Apparently, most teams had Yakupov lower than Edmonton did. Other than that, though, 2010, Taylor Hall, I think best player in his draft. I would certainly want Taylor Hall. 2011, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, phenomenal player. Rushed into the NHL. We don't give a lot of hell to Oilers. Yakupov, we've already spoken about. 2013, Nathan MacKinnon. 2014, Aaron Ekblad. 2015, do I have to introduce him? McDaddy, McJesus, McDavid, the God himself. That says enough. 2016 was Matthews. 2017, Nico Hischier, who at first didn't look great, but Corey, I'd say he's turning into a pretty solid player. I think he's going to put together a really, really good career. He's going to be I think he could be a number one center if it weren't for Jack Hughes. 2018, Dahlin went first overall. Now, it wasn't looking good the first few seasons, but I think he looks incredible. Like, just, I think he's going to be one of the best. I think he's going to win a Norris or two when he's done playing. And, you know, we've seen these other draft picks. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. 2019 was Hughes. Or no, 2019 wasn't Hughes, was it? Or was it? I think 2019 was Hughes. I'm drawing a blank now, but you get my point. All these guys who have gone first overall have been absolutely amazing players. So regardless of what happens, if Shane Wright turns out and to be, you know, a generational talent like he was projected to be at 15, or if he turns out to be less than that, Montreal is getting an amazing player. When you draft first overall, you get almost all the time, you get an amazing player. And I think that's, there's a lot to be excited for coming up into July.
No, I think you're right. I'm looking at fucking Tankathon, and dude, I whiffed so fucking hard. We're not close to fucking 13. Our next pick is like the 29th and I think the 30th. 25th.
Right now, Calgary's drafting like 25th, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Jesus Christ. I don't know where the fuck I saw that. But yeah, anyway, I think it was 19 because number two was, what's his name? The Rangers.
2020 was Lafreniere.
Yeah. No. 2019. I was confirming your 2019 for Hughes.
Oh, it was
Kako, who's, you know, like, I remember I was like showing my cousin, I was like, dude, they're calling this kid the fucking wizard. Like, you should see his fucking, you know, his compilations are unreal. Still solid player, but yeah, that's what made
me. Well, that's just Rangers development. What they've done to those two guys is terrible. And you've seen Lafreniere in these playoffs. When he gets an opportunity, he fucking kills it, man. I think Lafreniere is still going to be an absolutely phenomenal player. Like, without a doubt, people have almost written him off already. Like, he's the real deal. He's not – there are some first overall picks who are lesser than others. I think he's, like – I think he could be Hughes level. Like, I think he's going to be a star in this league.
Before we really move on, I wanted to note – But while we're still talking the draft, it's pretty awesome that our I know we got a late round first, you know, we still have a late first round pick, but like right behind that, you know, we have the number one in the second round too. So it's
33rd, yep.
Like there's gonna be someone that falls, like even beyond whatever, like if we move up our 29th pick or we move up our 33rd pick, which I fucking doubt, because you'd have to put a big old price tag with that, but someone that's a first, I would think a first a first round draft pick is gonna fall, and we have a great opportunity to grab someone who might have fell below the ranks again.
No, definitely. And the thing about this draft, and they say it lacks in high-end talent. That's what a lot of the scouts have said. I tend to disagree. I think this draft has a lot of high-end talent. But to maybe placate what they've said, maybe compromise a little bit, maybe the talent isn't as – not the talent, let's say the ceilings of some of the players
are
quite as high as other drafts. But this draft is deep, okay? Like, you see – draft boards with Matthew Savoie going eighth. And this is a guy we were talking about going second overall all year. Just absolutely lit up the WHL. Now there's undersized player who's probably going to fall because he's undersized. Mm-hmm. And we know what happens every time this happens. Like he's phenomenal. And there are other guys like Joaquin Kemmel, who before the season started, was the consensus number two. And some scouts still have him at number two. This draft is wide open. David Jiříček, Simon Nemech.
I think this is going to be a surprising fucking draft. Like, at least at least, I'm sorry, at least like the talent of them. Like there's been a lot of like, there's a lot of lost time. So like this one's kind of up in the fucking air.
There are about, and honestly, I truly, like there's about 12 players, maybe more in this draft that I have heard going in the top five. And some, you can take the pessimistic approach and say, oh, that's because this draft sucks. It's because these guys are, they're good. Like they're competitive. It's so close. They've been pushing each other back and forth all year. And if anything, I think that shows how amazing Shane Wright is, that even though he had a very subpar start to the year, no one's wavered in having him first overall, considering all the movement in this draft.
Right. Well, one more thing on the draft. Like you're saying, there's going to be a lot of great depth in this draft. We have 14 picks this year, but seven of them are in one first to third round. So I think whatever we grab, we're going to grab a pretty stout group. And I'm pretty excited for that. I mean, our last year's, we had a big old fucking, I think it was like another close to 15 draft picks, and we're sitting on another good year of that. I'm just honestly excited. So.
No, me too. And I'm also getting really fucking excited because the Avs and St. Louis are playing right after we're done this recording. I'm about to go out, watch it, have a few beers with the boys. Look, I've got my money on the Avs all day, every day. And you know, it's a great place to put your money on the line for some hockey teams. That's DraftKings. And I think we have a word from them.
We always do, because they pay the fucking bills. Hockey fans, the pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same-day parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Y'all remember, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. So back to the episode. So Mason, you brought up the Blues, the Avalanche. Game one was fucking unreal. Blues strike first. It went fucking deep as hell. What? Yeah, it went to fucking overtime. And an unlikely hero scores for the Avalanche. Jordan Binnington, you know, no matter how much you don't want to see your team fucking lose, Jordan Binnington was fucking unreal that game. And if I'm not mistaken, the Avalanche hit like the bar or the post two or three times in the first period. It's just been a lights out game. I honestly thought it was going to be the most high scoring game, but that happened yesterday right after we finished recording. And I'm sure we'll get to that in a second, but I still have faith in the Avalanche. I don't know. You tell me. I know I'm not going to say I'm not the biggest Avalanche fan. They're one of my top fucking teams, but I still think the Blues is going to give them a run for the money. You said they were going to win in five games. I'd said six.
All right. So brief interruption or seamless transition. I'm not sure how Corey's going to edit this. we'll see what happens. I went to Robot Mason for a sec, I guess, and my answer was not recorded. But what I was saying was, I think everything depends on this game tonight. I think the St. Louis Blues are going to come out absolutely aggressive, hungry, Colorado doesn't ever really have to weather a storm because they just, they're so dominant. But their equivalent of that, if they can do that for the first 5-10 minutes and win this game, I still think the Avs in five. Like, they're so, and it's not anything against St. Louis. It's, this is just one of the best hockey teams I've ever seen.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And I think they're playing the best team in the West to give them like a bang for their buck. Like, whoever wins this series is going to be the representation probably from the West in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Especially like, the way fucking Edmonton and Calgary, they were playing each other so fucking hard, beating the shit out of each other.
Exactly. So, like, no whoever comes out of that is going to be fucking, like, with a wonky wheel.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. It's not shit. Happening. But anyway, no. Because, you know, you guys are hockey fans, I hope you understand. We're going to be honest with you. We really want to go watch that game. So
we're going to end the episode here. We're going to roll out of here. One, because it's time to watch that fucking game. Two, I'm now that we've had that hiccup with the audio, normally lightning strikes twice. And I know Mason's audio is going to fucking lapse out again. So it's for me. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for making our podcast rise again. It's all thanks to y'all, and we do all of this for y'all. Otherwise, we'd just be talking amongst ourselves like friends. So, Mason, if you don't have anything else to say, take us out, bud.
All right. Well, everything Corey said, we appreciate all you guys do for us, and we appreciate you guys coming along, joining us for our fucking, you know, crazy, silly, maybe stupid hockey takes. We appreciate all the support. You guys can find us at Bayou Benders and at Habs Nightly on Twitter and Instagram. Although I don't post anything on Instagram, so Corey's going to have to carry the load there, much like he does with the editing. But anyway, we appreciate it. So thank you, and we will see you guys on the next episode.
Y'all take care. I got to go fishing.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.